All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 42 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. This is our last week of classes in the 2014 calendar year. My gosh, we're getting ready for our wonderful Christmas break. I hope everybody's enjoying the anticipation of the holiday season and that things are going nicely in your home and your place. And so we are going to be covering some really interesting, important material in this last week to get us ready for the birth of the United States. So we are, of course, when we study history here at History at Our House, we aren't just interested in learning about lots of facts about the past. We are interested in finding out about the things that happened in the past that help us to understand the world we live in now. And we have already seen, of course, that there could be no United States of America without the discovery of America by Christopher Columbus. And we have already seen another important truth, that there could be no United States of America if the English had not become colonizers and colonists, if they had not decided to start what Richard Hakluyt called Western planting. And we left off last time with another important story, which was that there could be no United States of America unless these people who decided to come here actually succeeded in this very difficult endeavor that was to pick up from their lives and leave their lives behind in Europe and come to America and start from scratch. You could die on the trip over here, right? Just getting on a boat and traveling across the Atlantic Ocean, you could die. It wasn't like nowadays where we get on a plane and you get a snack and a movie and you arrive across the Atlantic Ocean, right? Back then, it was a matter of life and death. And if you arrived and the primitive native tribes there were not happy to see you, you might die because of them. You might die because of new diseases. You might die just because it was awfully hard to grow enough food to survive, and so on. So we saw last time that the colonists in Virginia, in Jamestown, barely managed to do that. In fact, most of them died in the first few years. And there was only one way that there's ever going to be a United States of America, is if they can solve these problems of survival in the New World. And they finally did by learning to grow something, to create something that people back in Europe wanted and would happily trade with them in order to have. And that was tobacco. So we're getting closer. We're getting closer because we've got now a colony, Virginia. With Jamestown as the settlement, the first of the settlements, we have a colony called Virginia. Now we have a state called Virginia, right? Which hopefully you're learning about in your geography maps. It's succeeding. The people there are going to live, and they're going to live well. Well enough that women and children are coming, and people are creating new lives, and some quite wonderful things are happening indeed, as we talked about with the story of John Washington, the great-grandfather of George Washington. So we're getting closer here to America as we know it. But we've got a few more steps to take, for sure. And one of the things that we need to learn more about is the fact that, well, Virginia is not the only colony. I think it's pretty fair to say it was the most important of the colonies before the United States was created, but it was not the only one. There were 13, as we've talked about before. So we've got a story here. What were these other 12 colonies that eventually came along? And so we've got to learn that story. But there's something else that's, in a way, even more important than how many colonies there were. Because these people who are coming here to America, they're still mostly just Europeans. And when they come here, they're creating a life for themselves. It's a lot like what they would, right? Remember what a colony is. Let's just go back to this particular point here. Remember what a colony is. It's a distant place that people from a home country settle in. Finish that sentence for me. They settle in, dot, dot, dot. How does that sentence finish? Rosetta?
And bring the power to their home country.
Yeah, and bring under the control of the home country. Right? So in other words, Virginia was just going to be an extension of England. An extension of Europe. So if life in America was going to be exactly the same as in Europe, we're not going to get the freedom. We're not going to get this amazing birth of freedom that is America. So what? One thing that we need to learn more, and remember, here, I'm going to show you guys, before I get to the map, right? I want to remind you of this particular image here from last time. Let me share my screen with you guys. Remember? Remember this? I think this is a neat painting for a lot of reasons. But this painting shows us that colonists were not free. They were not free. Right? Does anybody remember what this painting is showing us? Abby?
Colonizer presenting his idea of a colony to the king.
Okay, now why does he have to present it to the king?
So the king will give him permission to do
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go. A crucial word about life in Europe. If you wanted to go make a colony, you had to get permission from the king. Living according to somebody else's permission. Is that freedom? You got to go to somebody else and ask him if you can live the way you want to live. That's not freedom. So, these people who are coming over, they're not used to freedom. They have to ask the king for permission because the king is their ruler. But we're going to end up with, quite amazingly, a country where you are free to choose. Where you have the founding fathers saying that every individual has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You don't have to live by someone else's permission. The government is not there to give you orders. The government, Thomas Jefferson said, is there to protect your rights. So you would never have to see something like this in a free country. Begging for permission. So this is the other thing. We're interested in two main things here as we talk about the colonies this week. We're interested in how did there come to be more? Who were the other people that were coming and what did they want and how did they succeed? And then the other thing is, well, how are we going to get to America instead of just another version of Europe? Right? Are we just going to get more of the same? Or are we getting something new? Some different way of life that's better, that's freer? So that is the other thing that we're interested in. And in Virginia, we have already seen the seeds of freedom. I don't know if you recognize them yet. Right? Maybe this is something to really focus on here before we continue, in fact. And the seeds of freedom, I want to go back to your class notes. I'm going to take you back to this map in just a second as well for a pop quiz. But if we go to the class notes from last week, which are posted to the webpage now, so you can head over there, right, and grab a look, print those off, and read them together about the success of Jamestown and so on. We have something here which is, I think, one of the seeds of American freedom. Really interesting arrangement that encouraged people to come to America. and it was called the headright system. So what was a headright? You don't even have to remember it. You can look right here and read it off the page. What was a headright? You can read it off the page if you want, or you can just tell it to me from memory if you want. Walker, Allison?
A headright is when someone works for a certain time and then they get some land in return.
Not quite. That was a good mistake to make. You're on the right track, but what you're talking about here is this. Indentured servitude, where if you couldn't afford to come over, then you wouldn't get your own headright right away. You'd have to work for somebody else before you could get it. But what was the headright itself? Patrick?
50 acres.
50 acres, yes, but how did you get the 50 acres? It was an interesting idea. How did you get the 50 acres?
For each person that left England and settled in America.
That's right. You got 50 acres. Well, I can't highlight this very easily. For settling in America. So that was the key thing, is 50 acres. Now, why do I think this is such an important thing to focus on here? It's because of this. Back in Europe, was there any possibility of a person getting a headright? A regular person. Normal person who's a poor peasant, who's got no money to his name. Was there any chance of getting a headright? Nemo says no. Can you explain, Nemo?
Why not? America has better opportunities.
Well, yes, okay, but why was there no way to get a headright back in Europe? Dana?
Well, because for being in England or for being in America?
In England, in Europe, back in Europe. How come people didn't have this?
Oh, because they were poor.
Well, no, I mean, that's not why. That's not why there were no headrights back in Europe. Rosetta?
Because it was too small?
Sort of. We're getting there. Abby?
Because they were controlled by the king?
Yeah, because all of the land was all controlled by the king and was already taken up. In the Dark Ages, the kings had given all the land away to the lords and made a bargain to rule all of the land. So basically, it was all taken. There were no opportunities for poor people to make their lives better. Here's the wonderful thing that is, to me, the beginning of the American dream. We have this wonderful idea that is called the American dream, and it's recognized around the world as this thing. And so many people leave their homes to come to America for the American dream. What is it? The chance to make a better life. The chance to make a better life. The freedom to make a better life. It doesn't mean that you come to America and everybody gives you whatever you want. The founding fathers said that you have a right to pursue your happiness. That's a very, very important phrase. The founding fathers did not say you have a right to be happy. What would that mean? What would that mean to have a right to be happy? Oh my gosh. How would that work out, Abby?
It would mean everybody had to be happy.
Yeah, everybody had. So if you're unhappy, what has to happen then?
Somebody has to help you get happy.
Oh yeah, okay. So if you have a right to be happy, then the government is supposed to give you whatever you want until you're happy. Oh my gosh. Well, I'll tell you what. I would like to control the entire planet and I won't be happy unless I get it. Oh, obviously. Right to happiness. Right? That doesn't make any sense. But you have the right to pursue your happiness. Which means exactly what the headright was about. The headright said, you can come to America and you will work. You will work. It was like John Smith had said. He who does not work shall not eat. If you come to America, you work. And if you can't afford it, you have to be an indentured servant. But when you're done, you get a head right, and it's your land. Wow. And 50 acres. About how much is that? Can you imagine? I mean, it's hard to imagine. How much is an acre? What would be a good way to kind of approximate an acre? Walker? Ellison?
Miles?
Nope, not quite. Not quite. There's a good kind of approximate measure that would give you about an idea of what an acre is. It's actually a little bit less than this, but approximately. An acre is approximately the size of a football field. A little bit smaller. All right, so if you're watching football games over the holidays, maybe the Rose Bowl or something like that, right? And you're looking at that. Look at that football field, maybe without the end zones, and you got about an acre. All right, so 50 of those. That's a lot of land. 50 acres. If you worked that and you succeeded, what could you get? You could get more land than the lords had back in Europe. And if you could grow food there, you could sell tobacco, and you could, if you worked really hard, imagine what the outcome would be. A wonderful life. So that is what I'm talking about with kind of where does the United States come from? Well, one of the things is this possibility that you can make a life for yourself. So that's called freedom of opportunity. It means you are free to come and to work. And if you do, there's no limit to what you can have. No limit. And that is no exaggeration. Because nowadays, there are people in the world who are billionaires. Now, and there are more of them, guess what country, than any other country in the world? Easy question. United States. Okay, so, why? Why are there billionaires in the United States? That's an amazing thing. People who are able to work and to create things that other people are so happy to buy, like iPads and computers, and I'm staring at one right now. I'm looking at an Apple computer, and it is the most wonderful computer I have ever used. It is amazing, and I'm so happy to know that the Apple Computer Company is this gigantic company that makes these wonderful things, and the people who invented these things or who were responsible for them are billionaires. Great. That's the American dream. And it starts back in Virginia. It starts back with the idea that you can have a head right. And then after that, it's up to you. If you are George Washington's great-grandfather, well, guess what? You're going to end up with 5,000 of those acres. Wow. Just hard to imagine. But it's the beginning here. So we're working our way towards a new way of life. And so people who have this, people who earn a new and better life for themselves, have a different attitude than people who are kind of stuck wherever they are. And so we're going to see that these colonists who have built this life for themselves are not very easily convinced that they should give things up to the king. Because they came over and they worked for it. And they're going to be people who want their rights respected. And as we will see, it's going to become a fight. Because the king says, a colony is supposed to be for me. Right? I'm the king. I gave you permission to go there. And the whole point of a colony is to enrich the home country. The colonists are saying, well, no, we don't live for you. We live for ourselves. We're pursuing our own happiness. And we have a right to do that. We're going to get to a big argument. Right? So we're on our way there. So we'll work over the next couple of weeks. I mean, this week, and then when we return, In the new year, we're going to see this kind of growing, mounting argument over what the role of the colonists is in the world. And they want to make a life for themselves, and they believe in their own freedom. And they're going to, pretty soon, they're going to want to fight for it and not be ruled by kings anymore. So, very cool. That's where we're headed. But along the way, we're going to add some new colonies, and we're going to add some new ideas as well. And one of the colonies that we're going to move on to right now is, aha, smack dab in the middle of the screen here. So, who has been doing their geography work and can tell me what this funny looking place is? It looks like kind of, what's one of those ancient elephants with the curved tusks? What were they called? Mastodons or something like that? Looks like kind of, you know, if you've got an imagination, you might be able to think of it as one of those woolly mammoths. So, Wyatt and Henry, what colony are we talking about right here?
This is Wyatt.
Yes.
I get Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, well pronounced on top of it. Very good. Okay. And can somebody tell me some of the neighbors of Massachusetts that we're going to be learning about as well? For instance, this teeny tiny state, one of the smallest ones. Which one is that? Nemo?
Providence.
Well, no, that is the capital of
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. There we go. Okay. And this one? Bonus points for anybody who can pronounce it, even though it's not spelled exactly the way that it's written. Patrick, what is it?
Connecticut.
Connecticut, which is not pronounced the way that it's spelled, right? It is spelled Connecticut, but it's pronounced Connecticut. Just like Maryland is pronounced Maryland. Okay, so good. And so on. All right, good. So if you are familiar with these, you're on the right track. These are the ones we're going to be learning about now. We have this region of America that to this day is known by the name New England. Okay, so that's just kind of the name for this whole area here. And so make sure you go back to your week 2 geography work if you are not yet very familiar with this, because when I say to you that we are now going to turn to the study of Massachusetts, I want you to know where that is. I want you to know that you're talking about America, and there's this funny woolly mammoth over here of a state, and that's what we're talking about. Okay? Good. So, let's talk about Massachusetts, because Virginia, I would have to rank as the most important colony in American history, but Massachusetts is the second of the major colonies and probably the second most important. So we're definitely talking about some very important colonies here. And it was started in 1620. So Jamestown, hopefully you will recall, was 1607, and now we're going to get the first colony here in Massachusetts. I don't know the exact location, I have to confess. I forget where it is. Called Plymouth in 1620. And you can even go and find this place. It's famous here. Well, these guys are supposed to be there, but here they are arriving in Plymouth. And at a place called Plymouth Rock, which was literally a rock on the beach. And, well, they're evidently very excited to be arriving in the Americas. Who are they, and why do they matter for our story? Who are they, and why do they matter for our story? Well, some of you already know what kind of people that they were. They were different than the colonists of Jamestown. They were different than the people who went to Virginia. So who were these people and why did they come to America? Rosetta?
Pilgrims.
Okay, so you're using a word, pilgrims, and Sigourney wants to use another word. Sigourney, what's your word?
Puritans.
Puritans. Okay, so which one is it? Ah, as it turns out, trick question. Both! All right, so wait a minute. What is that? How can they be two different things? All right, well, let's just sort this out here for a second. Okay? So, yes, we are using the word... Who knows what a pilgrim is? Because that's a good word, and these people definitely are pilgrims. So what is a pilgrim? Walker, Allison?
They are people who want to go to another land where they can worship God freely.
That is a too specific definition. That is not a definition of the word pilgrim. So you're on the right track that these people wanted to worship in their own way, but that's not what a pilgrim is. Nemo?
They wanted to practice their religion without being persecuted.
Okay, again, you're being too specific. A pilgrim is a person who goes on a religious journey. That's what the word pilgrim means. So you can go on a pilgrimage, which is the name of a journey, to a place, to different places, depending on what your religion is. So people who are Christians today would maybe go to Rome because they would want to go to the Vatican, which is an important place, or they might go to Israel, to the Holy Land. These are pilgrimages, okay? A journey for a religious reason, right? That's why these people are called pilgrims. So, but they're also called something else, Puritans. And so this is another word that we need to be familiar with in order to understand them and what they are going to help us to understand about the story of America. So, to understand what a Puritan was, we need to go back to the story of the revolt against the Pope. And remind ourselves of the three main kinds of Protestants, the three main kinds of people who were protesting the authority of the Pope. So what were they? Three kinds. Okay, Abby, get us started with one of them, please.
Lutherans.
Okay, Lutherans. I want to give everybody a chance here. Lutherans, and Lutheranism was started by whom? Go ahead, Abby.
It was started by Martin Luther.
Martin Luther. Okay, so we've got one. Lutheranism started by Martin Luther. Rosetta, give me another one.
Anglicanism,
and who was that started by?
That was started by, I think, Henry VIII.
Henry VIII, the King of England. Okay, and we need one more, please. Patrick, what is it?
Calvinism.
Calvinism started by? It's from the name of a person as well, Rosetta?
Calvin.
John Calvin. Okay, very good. All right, so we've got Lutheranism. The Lutherans, we have Anglicanism, we have Calvinism. Okay, so these people called the Puritans were Calvinists, basically. But they lived in England. So now, if we understand and we remember what life was back in Europe, was that acceptable? Was that allowed? Did you have the permission of the King of England to be a Calvinist? Was that okay? Could you choose for yourself what you wanted to be, Abby?
No.
Why not? What was the rule in Europe?
Because everyone in Europe was Christian except for Muslim invaders, and they thought that the only form of Christianity was Catholic.
Well, but not in England. What was it in England?
It was Catholic Christianity.
Not ever since Henry VIII. This is the key point here. Rosetta?
It was Anglicanism.
Anglicanism. But more than that, why was it Anglicanism? Anna remembers. Anna.
The ruler chooses the religion.
Latin, please.
Cuius regulatus religio.
Aha! All right. What was life like in Europe? Cuius regio. Eius religio. The ruler chooses the religion. So, if you were living in England, could you be a Calvinist? The answer is no. Because the king had chosen to make the Church of England, make Anglicanism. So the only acceptable, there was no choice. The only kind of Christianity that you were allowed to practice in England was Anglicanism. So now we are getting closer to understanding, why did these people come to America? Why are they known as pilgrims? Going on a voyage for a religious reason. They were Calvinists. Back in England, they were not allowed to be Calvinists. So if you were English and you wanted to be a Calvinist, what could you do? What could you do? Abby?
You could go to another place and live there and be a Calvinist there.
Yeah, right. You could go to another place and be a Calvinist there. And there were some places in Europe where you could be a Calvinist. But if you were English, did you want to live in another country in Europe? Remember, people from different parts of Europe don't really like each other. They don't get along very well. They don't speak the same language. They have had a lot of wars with each other. So these Calvinists of England did end up going to other places in Europe for a while. But is there another choice? A place where you could be a Calvinist? Because, well, the king is so far away that he won't even know what you're doing. Abby?
There is. You can go to America.
Mm-hmm. You can start over. Go and become a colonist. Go to America and become a Calvinist there. Become a pilgrim. Now, by the way, I missed out on a chance. I was going too fast, and I forgot to explain the word Puritan. I jumped right past it. Nobody noticed. That's okay. It was too exciting. So what was the... Why were they called Puritans? Well, because they were English, and they were jealous of the people in Europe that had what they thought was a better form of religion. A purer form of religion. They looked at Calvinism and they said, that's better than Anglicanism. They said, Anglicanism is just the king of England being a regio like any other. He's just being a bully and he's just making his own form of Christianity that's not really any different than the Pope's. It's just he's in charge instead of the Pope. That's not really a great important change. They thought, well, Calvinism is a better kind of Christianity, a purer form of Christianity. So they were known as Puritans for wanting this purer kind of religion. All right. Where could they practice it? Well, wherever the king could not force them not to. So, as some of you are aware, one thing that the story of the Puritans and of the Pilgrims, whichever we prefer to call them, they're both the right names, this story helps us to understand something. Very importantly connected to something that is very American. The idea of freedom of religion. So as we study the growth of the colonies, we are going to learn more about this idea of freedom of religion. We'll continue with that tomorrow. All right. Thank you, folks. Last thoughts or questions for today? All right, everybody. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.